You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your business and your life today. I'm excited and honored to have a great internet marketing guest with me. His name is Sam Bell. He's a successful internet marketer, IT professional, real estate investor, and he's done this for over a decade. Sam is committed to helping others reach their internet marketing goals. He's also the brains behind several popular internet marketing and real estate tools that have produced millions for his clients and students. Sam partners with the top marketers and real estate investors and serves as an internet consultant for both pay-per-click and SEO. So we're going to dive in and really learn some cool stuff today. Sam's passion for the internet and all things technology makes him a true new age mentor. He teaches internet marketing strategies such as rapid traffic generation and many other techniques that are essential for today's virtual marketplace. Sam, I want to welcome you to Making Bank.
I'm happy to be here, Josh. Thanks for having me, man.
For sure. Tell me a little bit about, you know, I guess, how'd you get started as an entrepreneur? You know, was it one of those things when you were a kid, or did it just kind of happen later in life?
Yeah, man. So ever since I was a kid, I knew I wanted to be rich. You know, I'm originally from Trenton, New Jersey, and definitely didn't grow up wealthy at all. Come from a single family household. However, I always knew I wanted to make money and earn money, but I never really knew how that would happen. So, you know, I used to tell my mom and my grandma that, you know, one day I'm gonna be a doctor and I'm gonna take care of you, because, you know, in a child's mind, that's what I associated with wealth. If you want to be rich, doctors are rich, so I'll be a doctor. but as I matured and really I was fortunate and blessed enough to meet a mentor at a very young age. At the age of 18, I met my first mentor, and she actually enrolled me into my first business opportunity, which was actually a network marketing company. And she gave me some great books to read, Think and Grow Rich, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And it really just opened up my mind to entrepreneurship and business ownership. And since the age of 18, I've always known that if I wanted to, you know, build wealth and have freedom, that I have to be a business owner. So ever since then, I've been going down that path. Even before I started in real estate, I mean, I've done everything from, you know, sold ADT door to door. I have my own digital photography company back in Atlanta, man, in the club scene, you know, when digital photography was like the new hot thing. So, you know, just that and take pictures. And actually, that actually led me to real estate, because one of the actually the owners of the club where I used to take the pictures, that they were these young guys. They were, you know, in their 30s, 33. I'm like, how the heck did y'all guys get all this money to buy a club? And they said real estate investing. And I wound up doing a barter deal. So one of the guys in the club, he said, hey, come take some pictures for me, and I'm gonna give you some training on real estate investing. I'm like, all right, cool. So I went and did some pictures for him, and he gave me this some tapes. It was a box of tapes, like old school tapes. And it was all about how to get rich with cash flow real estate. And I started following this guy by the name of Ron LeGrand, and wound up going to one of his seminars, and obviously, you know, purchased all the different packages and coaching and training, and started down that path of real estate investing as my first venture. And that evolved over time. So I really, this was around 2001, 2002, around 2005, I actually went full time with my real estate investing business. And I was always into the internet and technology since, you know, my background was in IT. So what that allowed me to do was to actually leverage technology. And I started to look at my real estate investing business and see how I could apply, you know, what I knew about the internet to real estate. So around 06, you know, YouTube was new. Facebook was new. You had all these new social media platforms, and I actually started using those platforms to market and sell real estate. I think I'm probably one of the first investors to actually have one of their wholesale deals on YouTube, actually doing a walkthrough, back in 06. And so I started actually teaching other investors how to do this. And I created my first info product called Real Estate Wealth 2.0. And this actually taught other investors how to use, Web 2.0 and search engine optimization to actually market their properties and build their buyer list and things like that. And that's how I got into this whole information marketing, internet marketing world. And from that, I kind of developed a relationship as the internet guy in the real estate space. And that allowed me to form some relationships. I started doing some consulting work and helping out other real estate info marketers with their PPC campaigns. Around 2009, Google did a big ban, and they banned a lot of people's accounts. So if you were, back in the day, you could just run ads on Google AdWords to a squeeze page. It wasn't all these compliance issues. So when they came down hard on everyone, a lot of people lost their accounts, and that was like their main source of leads and traffic, for their info marketing business. So I started consulting with people and helping them get their accounts back or setting up new accounts so they can run compliantly. And that's how I evolved into actually starting a digital marketing agency. I was just doing some kind of one-off consulting, and that brought me to the point to where now we actually run paid traffic and media buys for real estate verticals, multiple verticals on Google and Facebook and YouTube, and it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, I mean, you've been just crushing it. I mean, one thing kind of like sounds like it parlayed into the next and into the next and kind of got you where you are today. I know one of the things you mentioned, is you are kind of that go-to guy, by building up your real estate and learning and diving into all that. But it all started, it sounds like, back, you had a mentor. And I think that's such a big piece is, I know for myself when I was little, 14, starting my first computer business, and reading Think and Grow Rich and Tony Robbins and Rich Dad, Poor Dad and all those, is you utilize those and you start learning that, how to kind of look outside of what you're normally used to. And having a mentor is a big key piece in, I think, driving us forward to, reaching our goals and everything. And so I think that was a huge key point that you said, as well as then really diving into your, learning the real estate ins and outs. And so I guess obviously along the way, as you've built this, you've run into different challenges, I would suspect, and things that may have derailed your progress or sidetracked it and stuff. Maybe share us, with us one of those biggest challenges that you ran into and then kind of how you got through that or overcame that.
Yeah. So, when I really got active in the real estate investing market, everything was hot, and I was making money hand over fist, I just thought I was the smartest guy in the world. I mean, I got this real estate thing figured out, not really realizing and understanding that we were in a bubble at the time. And needless to say, when the crash happened, that was definitely a major setback. A lot of rental properties I had, I lost those rental properties. A lot of the wealth that I had accumulated on paper pretty much just disappeared overnight. And that was a hard setback, And, I mean, at the time I was, 28 years old, 29 years old, you're on top of the world one minute, making all types of cash, doing deals. And then, the next thing, you can't do anything. So that was an opportunity for me to pivot. And it was actually a great timing, because that's really when, my consulting and digital marketing began to take off. And that's really one of the beauties of internet marketing. It's not necessarily market specific, because, our marketplace is the world, so we're not really tied to what's going on in one local market. Now, does the economy overall affect buying trends and things like that? Absolutely. But for the most part, you can, there's so many different opportunities online, and especially in the services businesses for what we offer. I was just fortunate enough to catch another trend, which is the digital marketing and the advertising dollars. And if you look at advertising dollars moving, from traditional channels such as television and print, they're all moving online. And I've been able to kind of ride that wave. And I don't see that wave trending down in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, for sure. Can you stick around for a minute? We just got to take a quick break.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, and we are here with Sam Bell, internet marketing guru, real estate investor. He's been filling us in a little bit about his background, how he started with a mentor and has been able to build multiple businesses, as well as now he currently has a successful internet marketing pay-per-click advertising agency helping consultants and authors and different industry gurus build their brands and create opportunities for themselves. So Sam, welcome back to Making Bank.
Happy to be back.
Cool. So, you know, now you've kind of made that transition and you're building your online marketing business and everything. What are some of those initial challenges? I know you've kind of learned bits and pieces with this as you were going along and had some good successes with your info products and everything. But I guess moving from, you know, working kind of mainly for yourself and doing that, to be able to go out and start helping authors and speakers and the different consults really scale up what they are doing and become, you know, branding themselves and becoming more known.
There's been a lot of key points. I mean, for me, I think one of the biggest things was focus. You know, the internet provides so many different opportunities, and I know for a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs, it's very easy to kind of lose track because we all, well, you know, entrepreneurs in general have the kind of bright, shiny object syndrome. So just to really sit still and to focus on one thing and to just keep doing that one thing until you see success, as opposed to jumping from thing to thing to thing. And that's what really helped me. Like when I decided, you know, I enjoy buying traffic. I enjoy media buying and just really the whole process, kind of the analytics of it. It kind of works with my, you know, my left brain, analytical brain. You know, and I committed to just really becoming the best at that, as when I really saw success and when it came to internet marketing. So just focusing on the one thing and when it really comes to marketing online, we can a lot of times, you know, get overwhelmed with all the different tools and tricks and tactical things that you can do, but it really boils down to running a successful online business, there's really a few core things that I found that really matter. So it's one, understanding your market, right? Really knowing exactly, you know who it is that you're selling to, okay? Understanding what the needs of the market is, and also the sophistication of that market. You know, where are they? You know, the next thing is being able to communicate your marketing message effectively, right? You know, so that really comes down to understanding copywriting, how to use written words and actually spoken word, because now we have a lot of video to be able to communicate your product, your service, your offer to the marketplace, and really to be able to provide value and to impact people, to compel them to take action using, you know, certain emotional and psychological triggers, but still making sure that you're obviously able to fulfill on that. And then traffic, you know, the traffic side, you know, once you have an offer, you know exactly who your target market is, you know how to effectively communicate your product or service, then basically just getting the eyeballs in front of that product and service and letting the marketing message do the selling for you.
And so I know one of the points you mentioned was focus and commitment. You know, with all those distractions and everything that we have kind of coming at us and the whole bright, shiny object syndrome, what steps or how did you do it so you really were able to maintain that focus?
That's a great question, man. You know, again, I think it was having relationships and surrounding myself with people that were focused themselves and just really having people to kind of hold me accountable and say, hey, look, you know, this is the thing that I'm going to be doing. This is what I'm going to focus on. So having that an accountability partner, you know, when you're first kind of getting started, there are people who really want to see you successful. So surround yourself around successful people that are doing the thing that you may want to do or that you want to, you know, go down and see how you can add value to them, see how you can help them. And that really helped me have that focus. And then just a sheer determination. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, we have to be an adult and say, you know what, this is a commitment I'm making, and having that integrity with the commitment you make to yourself and being able to follow through. And it's very difficult. You know, when I say difficult, we are our biggest challenges. The actual act of marketing online, the actual act of all the tactical and strategy stuff, that can be learned. You know, so the biggest challenge that we all face as entrepreneurs is really the challenge that we look at in the mirror every day. So just waking up and then forming good habits. You know, when I started forming habits and saying, okay, I'm gonna get up at this certain time and this is what I'm going to do, and this is the routine. Once you start to develop those habits, you know, that really helps as well, because you have a routine. You have a routine established. You know that you're doing something every day. So you're making, you know, little steps forward, which over time will build up to be a big step, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. No, and I think that makes sense, is with the whole, you know, having, you know, the focus and surrounding yourself with the right people makes a significant difference for sure. And I liked what you had to say about the whole accountability partner. And I think so many of us is we're out there and we're going, but we're not checking in, even though, yeah, we may check in with ourselves, but somebody else that you say, hey, here's where I need you to hold me to, is going to give you and hold you to that better than a lot of times you do yourself. You always give yourself a benefit of the doubt. So, and then habits and routines are definitely important. I know I try to make my habits and my routines every day, you know, set me up for success that day. And, if things fail or we have a bad day or whatever, you know, we just got to understand that happens and just push past it and move on and don't dwell in that, you know, that same area. So definitely some awesome information. I want to dive in a little bit about what you found successful for you, I guess being able to create leads, you know, because there's a lot of people online like, hey, you know, I'll go out and help you, you know, create leads for your business or your consultant agency or whatever. And it just doesn't happen. You spend $10,000-$20,000 and you get nothing. And so what has worked for you, and maybe what are three strategies that you found successful in being able to generate leads?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is a skill set that I developed over time, right? You know, I've been doing this for quite some time. So really understanding, and it goes back to what I said previously, if you know who your target audience is, okay, and you understand how to communicate to that audience, I think one of the best skills that you can develop in business, not just in online business, but regardless of the business, is being able how to effectively communicate your product, service, or offering to your prospect or customer. So understanding and learning copy is critical. Understanding and knowing who you're going after. And then, you know, once you know who that is, decide on one channel. A lot of times we hear about, you know, there's, you know, traffic and videos. You can get traffic through YouTube, you can get Google traffic, you can get Facebook traffic, you can get PPV traffic. So it's like all these different channels. And the challenge is that you try to do all of them and you never really master one. So, you know, my first channel that I mastered was Google, Google AdWords, specifically the Display Network. I took the time and I just stayed in that lane and I got really, really good at that, you know, and then I moved over to Facebook. Once I already mastered that one channel, and then I really just focused and stayed on Facebook. And my agency has actually shifted. When I first started, it was probably 80% Google, 20% Facebook. And that's kind of, you know, switched around to more 80% Facebook, 20% Google. But really just focusing in and mastering those platforms. Now, the beautiful thing about Facebook that I love is that if you have a clear understanding of who you're going after, it's very easy to target those individuals because you have demographic targeting, you have psychographic targeting, you know. So if I know for a fact that my core audience are males between the ages of 35 to 54 who have an affinity towards a certain type of products or service, then I can target those individuals directly on Facebook. Now, the difference is is when you are running, say, you know, traffic on Google, then there's intent there. People will go, they'll go type in a specific keyword, whereas Facebook, you don't have the intent, but the targeting is there. So you have to make sure that you convey your marketing message based on the user experience that people are used to having on that platform. So for Facebook, it's all about stories, right? So people go on Facebook to, you know, to check their, see how their friends are doing, see how their family is doing. You know, they may catch news there, things like that. So you want to be able to tell a story as opposed to just putting a marketing message like, hey, buy my stuff. You're not going to really sell a lot if you just like, hey, buy my stuff on Facebook. So whatever your marketing message is, you want to create a story around that, bring people into your story, and then start taking them down the path to lead them to whatever the end result is that you're looking for.
No, and I think that makes sense. I mean, with the whole story aspect, you know, people are on there, and like you said, they are looking through their Facebook feed. So one of the things, too, I know you've done really well with is, you know, building a team, you know, for your agency. And I know some of it's outsourced. And do you still have people working directly with you now as well internally?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're my whole agency is all virtual. And that was a lifestyle choice for myself. I had the office and I did the whole office thing before. And honestly, I like to be able to pick up and go. So there are a lot of tools that allow for you to have a virtual business and be in constant communication and contact. So I think your communication tools and having, you know, systems and processes for how things get done. So some of the tools that we use for our day-to-day communication, we use Slack. So that's how we use, you know, information in terms of organizing our projects. We use a Teamwork PM. So all of our projects, we have everything segmented. We have standard operating procedures that we establish. So a lot of checks and balances are already in place. So when we have campaigns that we need to launch, or we have, you know, a new client that we're onboarding, like there's a process for that, and people know exactly what needs to be done. So I would say that it makes more sense to not only, obviously, you want to hire the right people, but when you do hire people, even if they're not the best fit, have them document everything that they do. Because if you have them document all their steps that they do, if they decide to leave you, at least you have a framework to start building on. And that's probably one of the best decisions that I made in my business, was to have my team document all of the steps, create a framework, and then develop processes from that framework, and then incorporate those processes into the tools that we use. So once those are processes and frameworks are established, then we can incorporate that into Teamwork PM. We can incorporate that into Slack, into how we actually conduct our day-to-day operations.
And so, you know, building your virtual team and everything, you know, I guess, how do you maintain that level of quality and performance? You know, obviously people are kind of on their own to do what they want when, and, you know, especially when you have deadlines.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, setting the proper expectation when you hire people, I think is very critical. So hiring the right people, but then also creating a culture. So even though we're virtual, I created a culture of, you know, we all hold each other accountable and we all help each other. So my team members know if they finish a task and they know another one of their team members is trying to finish something up, to go and help that team member. So that way they can complete that task. And that's kind of the culture that we created. You know, I'm kind of a very, you know, laid back boss, if you will. My thing is, we have certain tasks and we have certain deadlines. As long as the tasks are done and done correctly by the deadline, I'm not going to check in with you. I don't want to check in with you every, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. Is this done? Have you done that? But that's something that has been instilled over time. So when you're first starting with someone and you're just building out, you may have to be a little bit kind of micromanaging to a degree. But once you have those systems and processes and checks and balances in place, you really don't have to do that. And again, you want to create that culture, because people don't like to feel pressure. I don't want my people to feel pressure like I'm always harassing them, or they're going to lose their job, you know, if they're not, like, you know, available every second on the dot. It's like, hey, here's what needs to be done. Here's when it needs to be done by. And I put that into our task, so they know, hey, this needs to be completed by this date and time. And long as it's done and done right, hey, no problem.
No, that's cool. It's, you know, it's always challenging, you know, when you're building virtual. I mean, whether it's internal or virtual, but it, especially when you're not seeing the person on a daily basis or, you know, for questions and things like that. So, definitely some great advice, for everyone out there that has a business and, you know, whether you have an online e-commerce business and you're trying to, you need an assistant to somebody to help you do graphics and things like that. There's so many different resources and everything out there now these days. And then I know you've really created some cool ways to scale your campaigns, because a lot of times when you scale campaigns, your ROI goes out. You know, you start losing the ROI and your costs go way up. So what are maybe a couple of ninja tricks that you've done that have helped you scale your campaigns and still maintain profitability?
Sure. So as it relates specifically to Facebook, most beginning advertisers or even some experienced advertisers, a lot of times what they'll do, they'll start off with a certain budget and then they'll just start increasing the budget. You know, so if you start off with a campaign and you only have, you know, $20 a day allocated, well, if you just, you know, automatically increase that to $50 a day, $100 a day, a lot of times you will see your ROI just go kaput. So one of the things that we do, there's a few different things that we do. One of our first scaling techniques is just to simply duplicate our existing ad sets, right? So we'll duplicate our ad sets within the campaigns themselves. So if I have, five ad sets at $20 a day, you know, so that's $100 per day in ad spend. If I want to scale up to 500, then I will just duplicate that 20 times, right? So now I have, you know, 20 ad sets within one campaign. So that's one scaling strategy. Another strategy is that we will create another campaign and we'll start off the ad sets with a high budget up front. So as opposed to starting off with a $20 budget, I'll start the ad set off and maybe with a $200 budget out of the gate. You know, so I might have five ad sets that I know perform in terms of the targeting, the ads, like all of that'll be the same, but I'll start with a $200 budget. So Facebook knows, okay, I'm starting and I'm going to optimize this campaign off of a $200 budget, not a $20 budget. What happens is when you ramp up from a $20 budget to a $200 budget, Facebook has to then go and learn, you know, how to optimize on a $200 budget. And that's why you see your ROI just kind of fall out of the bottom of the floor. You know, so if you start with a $200 budget, then you're optimizing based on that budget amount.
No, that's awesome. That's definitely some good advice, because a lot of people, especially if they're going out and pushing out their ads for the first time and things like that, and like, oh, it's working. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not working. And so definitely some really cool insights and ways to make that better. So we got a few minutes left. What's one of the piece of technology that you can't live without?
One of the pieces of technology that I cannot live without. I mean, obviously my phone, man. my phone. In terms of tools, you know, when it comes to running my business, Slack, because there's an app, you know, so like even if I'm not in front of my computer and I'm out and about, like my team is still there so I can communicate with them. I can look at everything. And then Google Apps, you know, I use Google Apps for pretty much everything to keep things organized. So between Google Apps and Slack and Teamwork, because there's an app for Teamwork, I mean, I can pretty much run my business from my phone. So, you know, so I wouldn't say so much my phone in terms of the hardware, but just those specific applications that allow me to communicate day to day.
Really cool. Where can people find out about you? Whether it's your personal website, your business website, and you know, anything that else you want to mention while you're at it too.
Sure. So I have two websites. If you're someone that has an offer and you basically have an established business, you're spending anywhere between, you know, $10,000 a month or more on Facebook ads, and you're looking to maybe outsource that, then you can head over to PPC Boutique, or you can just Google PPC Boutique. And there's some information on there how we can help you out. If you're someone who's maybe just getting started with Facebook ads, or maybe you're looking to kind of build your own agency, you know, using, you know, Facebook paid traffic, and you want to just really kind of develop that skill set and sharpen the axe, if you will, you can head over to adagencysecrets.com. That's at Agency Secrets. And I have a free training webinar you can go through. And I actually go through some case studies of how we are able to actually optimize and scale some campaigns for our clients and walk you through our processes there.
Awesome, man. That's some great information, guys. If you need any insights on media buying, making things happen in your business from an internet marketing perspective, got to get over and check out Sam Bell's information. So, Sam, it's an honor to have you on the show today and hearing about your story and how you've created your business, as well as, you know, some really cool tips and tricks to make our internet marketing process better. So thanks again for coming on Making Bank.
My pleasure, man. Thanks for having me, Josh.
Cool. I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1%. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.